So, this session now is all about me being an open book. Ask me any question you want about anything, about what's happened in our businesses, about the journey forward, backward, whatever, about how I dealt with some of the adversity that we've gone through. I've shared a couple of stories. There are more, as we all have stories. But right now, we've got 9 slides on the screen. We've got what we call triggers, energy, outcomes, perspective. That one says perception, a bit hard to read. Don't look down, permission, what if, and destination. So this is going to be totally interactive, and you are going to lead me what you want to know more about. But before we go there, I want to know from you, what are some of the challenges in your business right now or in life? What are some of those right now? And I'm going to be totally honest with you, and I'm going to be totally transparent with you. So whatever happens in this room stays in this room so that we can be open and honest and transparent. Okay? What are some of the challenges right now? Conflicting priorities? Conflicting priorities, preparing for growth, balance. Make sure all is good, so that sort of works with balance as well. Getting started, coping with change, having enough time, prioritising, securing foundations, money and lack of knowledge. Great. If anybody wants to add to them, we'll just keep working through it. So, what I really want to accomplish out of this next session is giving you guys enough tools to be able to be aware of what's happening and then being able to manage situations. Right, because things happen. Right, sometimes I think we've got this unrealistic view of the world that it's going to be easy. Would anybody like an easy world, an easy life? Would that be good? It would be good. Right, right, not going to happen. Okay. So I think firstly we need to acknowledge that, because it is our belief that sometimes we want it to be easy. That when things happen and it's not easy, that we go, shit. Why does it have to be hard? Why does it have to be so hard? Has anybody ever said that to themselves? And the way you say it, what happens when you say, why does it have to be so hard? But when you really say it, breathing, physiology, why does it have to be so hard? Slouching, breathing down. Because that's life. That is life. We are always going to be tested in this thing called life that we go through, has so many moving parts to it that it is always not going to go our way. So we need just to be aware that that is normal. You and every other person in this world does not have an easy life. I don't care who they are. You think David Beckham's got an easy life? I guarantee you sometimes he wishes he was normal. And I probably think he wishes he was normal more times than we wish we were David Beckham. How hard is it for him to go down to the shops just to grab a loaf of bread? What if he wants to take his wife out for dinner? Or what if he just wants to be alone? Sorry, bud, you're David Beckham. We're going to be out of here in 5 minutes. We got 3 interviews this morning and then training this afternoon. I don't want to be David Beckham anymore. Right. So is that okay that we go, this journey that we're on, this misconception that sometimes we might have is that life is going to be easy? It's not. So when things happen and you are about to say to yourself, why does it have to be so hard? Don't let yourself do that. Catch yourself and go, well, this is just part of the journey. We're going to reframe when things happen, how you feel and internalize that. Because in that first moment, that will determine the next part of how much that challenge is going to hurt you. Because if we stay in this state of poor physiology, poor thinking, depending on how long we stay in that state is how long that is going to drag us down. And sometimes when you are surfing and you get dumped on a big wave, when the wave hits the water, it's like opening up. It's like going down a mine shaft. If it's a big enough wave, you go deep. And the bigger the wave, the deeper you go. And you're swimming back up to the top. And if you're not ready for it, just before you break through, you almost feel like you are running out of breath. You do not ever want that wave, that challenge, that problem, to be that big that if it crashes down, it's going to take you down the mine shaft. Because sometimes it can take your breath away. All right? So that there is one technique or one strategy you can run in your world when stuff happens. It's not what happens to you. It is how you deal with it. All right? But that second it happens, why does it happen to me? Not again. Why does life have to be so hard? You need to switch that thinking up. That's life. Put a smile on your face. That's life. What's happened to the problem? What's happened to the problem? The thing that's happened, what's happened to it? Is it different? Right. But has the problem changed? Is it still the same problem? Okay. Well, maybe I'll sort of word it differently. So the thing that happens, that thing, how we react to it doesn't actually change the problem, does it? That thing that's happened has still happened. That event or whatever has still happened. Right. And how we catch ourselves after it's happened. It hasn't changed the thing. It's changed us. The problem isn't a problem. It's how we react to it. So that there is one simple technique. And I have to do that all the time. Here we go again. This is it. All right, let's do it. Challenge me. I love competition. Challenge me. See how good you are that you can affect me that hard. Come at me. Let's do this. Terry Kennedy pulling out. Let's do this. What have I got? Bring it on. I knew that was building a muscle for me again. We've had a few speakers that have sort of had our things with over time. Having babies, missing flights, stuff like that. Challenge me. That is how I'm going to build as a person. Because next time, I think Nick Bowditch might have been the first one. Great man, Nick Bowditch, good mate of mine. Coming down from the Central Coast. He did tell me his wife was in labor, but I hadn't heard from him for about 4 or 5 weeks. So I just assumed she'd had the baby because he's a social media dude. So I thought, well, he's just come off social media. He's doing the family thing private. He's not getting back to me, emails, my phone calls, but that's cool. I'm just going to step back. That's cool. So we had our social media boot camp. I think it was 2014 maybe. And I was about to leave the office. Maybe it was about 8 o'clock at night. Boot camps next morning. Nick Bowditch is on after lunch that day. And I get a message. It's on Facebook. It wasn't a phone call. It was a Facebook message. Oh, it's Nick. Great. Probably just saying he's going to come down tonight or tomorrow morning. Hey, Steve, no good for the event tomorrow. My wife's just gone into labor. Not sure what to do. What? So first thing is, and this is me not thinking about the problem thing. I thought, what about me? Was the first thing. I thought about boot camp. Oh, crap. What am I going to do? And then I went into thinking, it was really actually hard for me to go from that state to thinking about, holy crap, because everything was about Nick Bowditch for those 2 days. It was like people in that room, 4 people go out for lunch with Nick Bowditch on the Friday and or Saturday back then. And everything else was surrounded like this guy was our big headline. I can't believe it. Oh, my God. But then, oh, hang on a second. His wife's just gone into labor. 4th kid. Amazing. That's a lot. And I was like, can you imagine how it was the right thing to do, but it was still hard. Hey, mate, Don't even give it another thought. Be with your family. This is, obviously, you know, this is one of the most special times. Don't worry about me. I'm all good. I knew that was the right thing, and I sent that message. But internally, I'm going, oh, shit, I can't believe it. Can't we just bring it down? Wollongong's got a hospital. Right, so that happened. But you know what? We got through it. Oh, that's weird. I found another guy. His name was CJ. He came down. He did an okay job. No, he didn't really. But he did try his best. But time just went on. And that problem, that thing that I had, so I did the right thing. Right? I said, Nick, come be with your family. Amazing time. And then I thought, right, now I've got to come up with this thing. I'm building my muscle. What do? Bang, make a few phone calls. Who else? My contacts. All right? So we get out of problem into solution. ASAP. We don't let us take down the mine shaft. We go down the mine shaft because solution sits on top of the surface. Solution does not sit underneath the water when you are struggling to get up. Solution sits surface level and up. So you can go and you can go in the mine shaft for a little bit, catch yourself so you don't go too far down, because that means recovery is quicker. Soon as we get out of problem into solution, everything changes. We cannot think of a solution while we are in problem. Do you understand that? Yep. Made a few phone calls, got it all happened, got through the event, and everything just moved on. Next time it happened, Tony Guattari, he was on the next day as well. He had to get from Adelaide to Sydney. He was fine. But then there was lightning storms or whatever, electric storms or whatever, so he had to go to Melbourne. Then he was trying to get from Melbourne to Sydney, couldn't get the flight. Flights were all delayed, couldn't even get that day. Binned it. Oh, crap, again? But I dealt with it better the second time than I did the first time. And so this Terry Kennedy thing that's happened this week. Once again, Terry was sick. Yep, look after your health. Whatever. Whatever. And I was just like, great, I'll do the session. Whatever. It didn't even trip me up. I didn't even miss a stride. I mean, great, we're in it. But that was only because it's happened to me before and I've built the muscle of learning from that period. So when you look at things that happen in your business, your perception of what's happening, that's what you can control. Because what can't we control? The problem. We beat ourselves up because we try to control the thing that we can't control. And whilst we do that, we are sinking down the mine shaft. We are just going further and further down because we're trying to control something that is well beyond our control. Stop it. Catch yourself. Put a smile on your face and go, right, that's happened. What do I do now? When you work with a large team, that's happened. What do we do now? All right? Nothing drives me madder than when I sit around a board table or in a boardroom or in a team meeting and everybody's pointing fingers at each other. You might not know it, but I've got a little bit of a temper when things don't go my way. Well, not so much go my own way, but when stuff like that happens, I will not tolerate it. I will not tolerate you trying to blame someone else for something that has happened. It's just not cool, right? Because what you're doing is you're trying to dump someone else in it while you're taking responsibility away from yourself. You stand up and be a man or a woman and you take ownership of that thing. Right, even if it wasn't your fault, say, you know what, I could have done that better. And then you see what happens around that table. You see everybody around that table going, yeah, you know what, I appreciate that, but I should have done this. And you know what, next time we're going to do this and this and this. And all of a sudden, we've got a really productive sort of conversation rather than, yeah, but if you hadn't have done that, then I wouldn't have done this. How long can that conversation go for? Oh, and where do we end up? Here we are again. We've not moved anywhere. Where if we go identify a problem, get into solution, we are moving down the railway line and we actually get into a place where we can be constructive and get stuff done. All right, so you control this session. What do you want to talk about? All right, so press a button. there's a little light. So there's a little green button that gives us a little light. What floats your boat? The top one, yep. Triggers. All right, thank you. Megan and I aren't drinking for February. She said to me, end of January, and I love my wife. She's here. I'm happy to say that. I said to her, what have I done to you to say that to me? It's a leap year as well, so that's an extra day. I love a glass of wine. I love a good meal. I love a glass of wine. She said, no. And she didn't actually say, I want you to do it. All she said to me was, I'm going to do a dry February. So that is, what's that saying to me? So what that's saying is, I'm going to do a dry February and you can drink if you want. Right. But I love a glass of wine. But what was happening was that there are triggers in our life. So when I would walk in at home, there's lots of things that happen. I run amok. I go, doo-doo, doo-doo. The kids go, Dad's home. And they go, Bur-r-r-r-r-r-r. And they go, all jumps on, stacks on. If they're in a good mood, if they had a crappy day, they go, food, Dad. Anyway, that happens. And we just run amok for a little bit. And then I walk in the kitchen. Hey, love. Hey, how you going? Glass of wine's already sitting on the kitchen bench waiting for me. She's got two glasses of wine sitting there. Maybe that's a third, maybe that's a first. I don't know. We're not going to judge it. She's looking at me, isn't she? Two glasses of wine already sitting there. That was my trigger. When I walk in at home, that's what happens. Bang, play with the kids. Bang, go and see Megs. Cuddle, kiss. Then we got a glass of wine. And that was my trigger to relax. So in our lives, we have got triggers. And it's very important to notice those triggers. Whether it is an emotional one, something happens, I react like this. We can control these triggers in our lives by increasing our awareness of them. So losing my temper when people blame each other, that is a trigger for me, right? So I am better at that now because you don't like, every time you lose your temper, you're losing your control, all right? That is not a place where I enjoy being, but it just frustrates me. If you've got things that frustrate you, that frustrates me. But that's not cool. You need to manage that. But that was always a trigger for me to lose my shit. That's not how we're going to do things. You're not going to sit at this table and point blank. Okay, so that's not cool. There's better ways that I can actually manage that situation. Guys, we can do this. So they're going to listen to me more if I talk and say, guys, that's not how we're going to roll this morning. All right, I'm going to tell you again, even though you've already known it because we speak about it all the time, we're not going to blame each other. All right, they're going to listen to me more speaking like that than they are if I get all emotional because I've just lost control and you don't want to listen to anybody who's lost control. So what are some of the triggers that you might have in your life or your business? There's some of them that are resourceful, which are great, but what we're really talking about are the ones that are unresourceful. Those things that happen that create X, Y, Z for you. Can you think of any at the moment? You possibly think of those unresourceful behaviors you might have, and then you can always work back from them and say, what caused that? And it doesn't have to be anger. It can be depression. It can be sadness. It can be, when I think of my nana, I get sad. I think because she was a great woman. But it's those things that happen in our business and in our lives. If you ever think that you're not enough, what is the trigger for that? Because we can catch that as well. It's an awareness. Don't go down the mine shaft. Catch it before it sinks you. Do you want to take just 1 minute and think about what one, two, or three triggers could be for things that happened. All right? Megs, we'll just go 1 minute. And if you've never heard me say this, don't think it, blink it. All right? Whatever comes into your mind, just go bang, bang, bang. Don't overanalyze this. Got any? Yeah, okay.
Trigger, like when I lose my password or I can't log in,
yeah.
That guy's thing.
Yep.
And I start, I can feel myself getting worked up.
Yeah.
I get anxious, you know, I really do. I'm
trying
to control myself.
Great. That's excellent. So there's an awareness of that. That's amazing. So now there has to be a solution to that somewhere where passwords just have to be kept somewhere. So you know what? You know what I do? Word boxer. Hey, just can you go and check out my password for Dropbox, please? Off. 3 minutes. So I'm out. So we've got our team in the Philippines. So very quickly, I don't like staying in problem very quickly. So my solution to my problem is to give someone else that problem. Delegation, yeah. So what I do, I've got a thing on our phone called Voxer. It's like a walkie-talkie thing. V-O-X-E-R. So if I can't think of anything, I go, hey, Leslie, hey, shit, whoever it is, can you just go and do that for me? And then send it, just send me a Voxer back. Done. Breathe easy. Perfect. But I love the fact you thought of it, identified it, create a solution for it, remove that state. Trigger is now actually something that's pretty exciting because it's someone else's problem. We've just sort of created another clog under ourselves, if you know what I mean. We build ourselves up a little bit more because that thing no longer exists. That thing that was negative is now positive. So we haven't gone up one. We've actually gone up two because we've taken one negative away and then chucked in a positive. You know what I mean? Cool. What else? Have any other triggers that you want to share? Yeah? You will baffle her. If she keeps pushing the button, she's not getting that. They call it a click word response. When it goes click, something goes worse. Pavlov's dogs types thing. When they heard the thing, they got a reaction. They heard the bell or the chimes, they got a reaction. They started salivating. Right, it's funny. All of these patterns, all of these triggers.
But 2 days, if I haven't had a surf.
Yep.
Like it's been 48 hours, I haven't had a surf.
Yeah.
Like, get out of the house. Yeah.
Please go.
Because you can see all the triggers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really clever.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So if you can recognize triggers in other people, you then have the ability to press them, if you want to be a real jerk face, or you recognize them and remove them and put it in a different way. If I do this, I'm going to get this response. If I reframe it and do it this way, I may get the same outcome with a different response. Do you know what I mean? We always get the outcome we want, but the real aware people will get the outcome in a nice way. Anybody else want to share? Yeah.
Yesterday with Grant, it resonated with me around time. I put a lot of value on being timely and arriving on time and making sure that in the contact center world, adherence to schedule is by the second.
Yep.
So for me, when that's not aligned, I get extremely impacted.
Yeah.
What the impacts would be on other people.
Yes.
And then that impacts the surrounding.
Yeah. Okay. So let's call it as I see it. When people are late, you get the shits.
Yeah.
Right. So you can control your reaction to the uncontrollable thing. Will people always be late? If it's not this time, it'll be like, and if it's not that person, it'll be another person. People inherently don't always run to time, whereas you do. It's one of your higher values. So one of the things you need to do is because you can't change what they do, you can only change the way that you react to that thing and then how it affects everybody else around you, because you cannot change the thing. They're still going to be late whether you lose your shit or keep it together. Except when you keep it together, you actually feel a little bit different to over here. And then you give them another opportunity to get another job somewhere else if they keep being late. Hi, Barry. I'm just going to let you know, this behavior of yours is a trigger for me not being so happy. So what? I don't like that not being happy thing, Barry. So what we're going to do is if you're late again, maybe you just share the importance of this thing. And if they don't, if it still doesn't get to them, well, mate, I'm the first one to say, well, I just won't cop that. Especially if it has impacts down the line, mate. And if you lose your job, this is the impact it's going to have to you. So all you have to do is leave 5 minutes earlier. Can you do that? Great. I'll be happier. You'll be happier. Family be happier. Done. I'll come back. Okay. Great.
He's up at 8:15 and I hand him his breakfast, I hand him his clothes, his brother's already ready.
Yep.
And it makes me angry, but he's a bit like Matt and he gets the shits when he's late. So then he blames me.
Yeah.
For walking out the door late.
Excellent. Okay.
So,
all right, so there's only so much he can do, hey? Would you say he's 15? Nearly 15. He's a young man. He needs to start taking responsibility for his actions. Right, at some time, the mother hen needs to let the young flock fly. Right, the only way we can do that is we have to hurt sometimes to learn a lesson. And the hardest thing for you to do as a mother, because you're so nurturing, you can just see it in the way you are, that you love your family and you just want to help and you don't want them to fall. By not letting them fall, you're actually taking away their personal power. So you say, right, and this is relevant for home, this is relevant for everything, whether it's work, family, whatever, it's relationships across the board. You cannot save everybody all the time. You've got them to this point, son, with a smile on your face, I think you're old enough now. You know what? And you inject that responsibility into his life and say, it's up to you. I'm going to be walking out the door at 8:30 and it's up to you. And you say it in a way that says, you know what? Because I hate nagging you. Because the way you frame this thing is actually really important. If you say, I don't care anymore. What's your son's name? Ryan. I don't care anymore, Ryan. Do what you want to do, but I'm going at 8:30. Or I'm sick of this. And you'll go, oh, whatever, Mum. You're always doing that, that, and that. And that'll trigger this other stuff. But if you go, son, you sit him down and say, listen, you don't deserve to be nagged anymore. You're a good kid, all right? You're nearly 15 years old, and I want you to, I don't know, just take responsibility for your own life. So I don't want to keep nagging you because you don't like it and I don't like doing it. But I just want you to know, at 8:30 every morning, and this is going to be the same as you get older, son, you're going to get a job, it's going to be the same. We're just going to be walking out the door at 8:30, okay? If you're with me, you're with me. If you're not, I'm just leaving. Is that okay? Because I don't want to nag you. Right, and you'll go, okay, because he hates nagging, I hate getting up, but he's going to have to learn. He's going to have to learn to fly eventually. If we keep nurturing and mothering, unfortunately, for too long, we actually take away their ability to learn lessons and to fall and break. Something awful happened with Ruby the other day. She was walking along a brick wall. She fell. She didn't hurt herself, thank God, but she's always climbing things and falling. And the only thing and she grazed her face, wasn't awesome. But the thing was, she learned a lesson about climbing on things and falling, and she did it in a way that didn't really hurt herself. But she now knows that will happen if she keeps climbing stuff. She lesson learned. If he's late enough times, he will learn the lesson. I left this up to you, mate. I want to stop mothering you because I want you to become a young man. You deserve that. And he's like, oh, this is so confusing. Is that helpful? Right.
If he needs to get a few late nights, I reckon we'll sort it out.
Yeah, and everything's there for him. Mate, you've done your bit. You're a great mum, and you've done your bit. Lunch, breakfast is there, bags there, whatever. It's all there for you, son. The rest is up to you. Ciao. You're enabling him. You are actually going to make him a better employee, maybe a better employer, a better boss, a better whatever, further down the line by just giving him the ability to make his own decisions. Yeah, great. Yep. Anybody, one more? Any triggers that you've got?
I was just going to comment on the whole being late. I hate people being late.
Yep.
So, I suppose it's perspective. I don't get angry very often.
Yep.
Because that's just, I am pretty laid back. And I just think, well, not much I can do about them being late. But I suppose from the so I always make sure that I'm early for appointments, and
yep.
if I'm not, I hate inside myself because yep. I'm keeping that person waiting, and I know I don't like being kept waiting.
Yeah.
Even to the point where if I think I'm going to be 2 minutes late to an appointment, I'll ring somebody and say, I'm running late, I'll probably be 5 minutes late, and most people go, wow.
Cool.
Okay,
yeah.
But I suppose it's about perspective.
It is. What was one of your triggers?
I don't
know. Okay. Alright. Cool. Next one. Button's on the top there, the green. Which one? Perspective. Good one. Glad you're doing the good ones. Thanks, mate. So it's a little bit like what we were saying before. It's not the thing. It's not the challenge. It's not the problem that creates the issue. It is our perspective to that problem. All right. I actually had a slide of a child in Ethiopia. So something goes wrong and somebody is late or a speaker pulls out or something else happens or something isn't right and you've been let down. All right. And it's the end of the world. According to what? You're labeling that. But all of a sudden, if you've got... What about if you're a four-year-old child in Ethiopia and you don't have enough food? What if you're in a war-torn country? What if you're in a country that you've got to get to Australia because your life's under threat? What if you're that person? Do they want your problem and you can have theirs? Every day of the week. So you've got to keep things in perspective. How bad's this thing that's happening? Because we can just flip it. And if we're going down the mine shaft and we haven't caught ourselves yet, we need to keep it in perspective. How bad is this thing that's happening to us? All right, what are we comparing it to? Because if you're comparing it to the child in Ethiopia, the four-year-old, or the parent of the four-year-old who doesn't have enough food, if you're comparing it to that, actually, you're on easy street. This thing is very much a first world problem. My phone doesn't work. I can't believe the phone doesn't work. They'll never see a phone in their life. We live in the top 3 or 4% of the people in the world. They don't have an iPhone. So what was your problem again? That's perspective. Sometimes people who lack a little bit of confidence will let the smallest thing trigger them into extravagant behavior because they've lost perspective. And all I'm doing now is just raising your awareness of that. That maybe that's a conversation you can have with people that maybe go down that path. You can't tell them it's not a problem. You can't say, what are you acting like that for? That's poor behavior. Right, all you're then going to do is just going to open up another whole world of hurt. But just let's keep things in perspective. All right, what's our solution? Let's get them out of problem into solution. All right, does that make sense? Yep. Great. Let's keep working through. Alicia. Green button. Permission. Great. Thank you. Do you sometimes feel like you need permission to be great? For someone to say, it's okay, you're allowed, go forth. Because that sometimes is what holds people back from going forth to achieve great things. They feel like they don't have permission, that they're not enough internally to go forth and be that person. But what if someone said to you, Taryn, you have permission. You never need anyone else's permission. But if you feel like you do, you've got permission to go and do amazing things. There are no boundaries for what you can do in this organization or in this world. You have permission to go and do anything. How does that feel, just me saying that? Yeah. And you don't need my permission, hey. But it, yes. Yeah, you do. So it's something to keep mindful that if that's how you feel, you give other people permission. You enable them. you give them the support to go on and achieve great things. Hayden, I give you permission to go and do whatever you want to do in this world, to go and break things, to go and be whoever what you want to be, the person you want to be. No holds barred. There's no right or wrong. Just go and do whatever you want to do. That's the permission that sometimes people are wanting. You've got the permission to be confident. You've got the permission to charge what you deserve to charge in your business, to have the conversations you need to have in your business. I give you the permission to do that. You don't need it, but it feels good if that's how you sometimes need to have conversations with people to say you're allowed to do it. Does that make sense? You're enabling people. And if you're running a big organization, the more people you enable, the higher they lift you up. That makes your life easier. That gives you time to go and do the core things that you need to do. Because you've enabled these people. Cool. Well, we've got time for a few more. Oh, the green button on the top. Outcomes. So every time problems arise. And the whole, did you want to know the four words that I had for you guys for this session? You know how I said at the start of this that I had four words that I wanted you to give the outcome? You want to know? Motivated. Inspired. I wanted you to feel confident, and I wanted you to feel enabled. Motivated, inspired, confident, enabled. That was my outcome for this morning, because that was the first thing I did. I thought about how do I want this to end, and then I worked back from there. How do I accomplish that outcome? So when you have something or a challenge, all right, this was how I put a presentation together, but we have a challenge and you think that your son is not getting up on time, what is the outcome that you want out of every event that happens that you need to resolve? What is the outcome you want? Because you cannot just go head on at it if you don't know where you want to end up. How do I want this to finish? Because if you don't know how you want it to finish, it can finish anyway. But if you say, I want this thing to end up with my son feeling enabled and empowered and go on to be the young man, how do I do that? Let him go. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You work your way back from that. If you've got a team of people you need to feel empowered, because they're not doing what you want them to do, you think, well, that's the outcome I want, but how do I work back from that challenge, this challenge here? How do I get around that side of that the best way possible without breaking things? Because there's lots of ways to get to an outcome. We've got to find the one that is going to serve us the best. Because we can punch through a wall. We will get that outcome, but we're going to leave a trail of destruction behind us. So when we work our way back from the outcome, we think, what are the steps that we can strategically think about this challenge to get there? And that's a fun thing to do, actually, because you're actually really thinking about it professionally. Yep. So that's outcomes. Questions? Any questions? Nope. Don't look down. Cool. Thank you. Have you ever heard the saying, you get more of what you focus on? Have you ever heard that? I just don't want to fail. I just don't want to be a failure. I just don't want to be a bad boss. I just don't want to be a bad mum. We're talking all about the things that we don't want to be. And our minds only hear the last things we say. I don't want to be a bad mum. I don't want to be a bad boss. We process the last few things that we hear, that we tell ourselves. I want to be a great mum. So don't think about the things you don't want to be. Think about the things you do want to be. I want to be a great dad. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great boss. I want to get this outcome. So when I say don't look down, because what happens? All right, you're climbing a ladder. Whilst you're looking up, you are focused on the goal. But what happens when you look down? You fall. Well, hopefully you don't fall. But you become more aware of what you don't want to happen. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. And all of a sudden, you've embedded that into your head. And that's on the table now. It wasn't on the table before while you're looking up, because you're looking up and you're focused. You're climbing the ladder. You're not even thinking about falling. Anybody ever play golf? Stand up there on the par three. A little bit of a water thing in there in front of you, but you hadn't really noticed that. You'd really just notice where the pin was, and you just focused on the pin and where you're going to land it on the green. You're looking up there, you're a bit of a bum wobble. Get your feet right. There, you're just looking where we're going. Hey, Dicko, don't hit the water, mate. Shut up. Boom, doink, straight in the water. Because all of a sudden our focus has gone from that thing. And we've even tried to go, you're an idiot, shut up, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter, it's too late. They've already popped that little bad boy into our head. It's a little bit like business and challenges and family and everything else. If we keep telling ourselves the things we don't want to do, we're actually bringing ourselves closer to that. We tell ourselves what we do want more of. It is a simple little, what we call a reframe of how we deal with stuff. Don't tell yourselves what you don't want. Tell yourselves what you do want. Okay? Don't look down. Don't hit in the water. Does that make sense? Yep. Does anybody do that? Or feel like they've done it before? Yep. Yeah. 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 And then it's in the game, and then you pull it down. Yeah.
Watch out tomorrow.
Yeah. I've got it. It's just focusing on what you want. It's focusing on what you want rather than what you don't want. All right? So we'll go two more. Who wants this, Matt? Energy. Cool. Great. So we spoke about energy yesterday. And I know Nick's going to talk about anchors later on. So energy is an interesting one. You can put yourself in any state that you want depending on what energy you have. All I want to do when I talk about this is for you to be aware of your energy. Have you ever felt someone walk into a room? As weird as that sounds, you're not even knowing, you're not looking at the door, you've just felt someone walk in the room and you've felt them. How does that work? That is an energy that people give off. Weird. I don't try and understand it. It is just that thing. How you walk into a room, how you are, creates the energy that you get back. It works conversely to that as well. You can provide, do you know those people as well, that provide a negative energy, that come in and just go, ah, they're here. Bloody mother-in-law. No, I'm joking. I love my mother-in-law. She's amazing. She flies around on a broomstick everywhere. She's great. No, I joke. I love my Christine. She's just the most brilliant woman in the world, and I love her. But people have a negative energy. Whether it's videoed. We'll just edit that, Paul. Thank you. Do you know those people? Yeah. So just being aware of what they bring. Because they can suck you in. They can suck you into their energy. Yep. They are. They're energy stealers. And the worst thing is, an energy stealer can actually zap three big energy makers because they've got more power than us, unfortunately. So you just don't surround yourself with those, because they're the dream stealers as well. They're the people that don't always say the nice things about other people, that say stuff about you when you're not there, that just knock your ideas down when you're thinking about them, to tell you that you're not when you are. They're the people you do not want to be around. And you do everything you can to not be around them. Right? So that's energy as a personal thing. How you control your energy, you can get energy. When you don't feel like something, you know how I got you up yesterday and I turned the music right up? That's creating energy. That's creating a different state for you at that time. All right? When we are dropping, we need to, you know, sometimes you just need to take a break. But all it is a recognition of how you're feeling. All right? What else have we got? We might finish up on this one. What if you couldn't fail? What if you had enough money to do anything in the world? What if there was just no barriers to whatever you, your dreams? What if? That's what, when we look at those amazing people that we had on those slides earlier, what if we could accomplish everything they did? What if we were good as good as them? The other side of that is, why not? You've got everything within you right now to accomplish anything in the world. You have got all of the resources around you right now to accomplish anything in the world. It is not going to be easy. We don't get it easy, remember? We got to get rid of that thing that anything in life is easy. No one has an easy life. No one has that luxury. There are always going to be challenges. But what if? What if you could do anything in the world? There's no reason you can't be the person that you want to be. There's no reason that thing that you wrote down about your story in that last day, there is no reason you cannot accomplish that. If you believe in something passionately enough and you are focused on it enough and you give it the energy and you give yourself permission to be that person, there is just no way that you cannot not leave an amazing legacy, that legacy that you want to leave. That thing that you wrote, your thing, it's nobody else's. It's your thing. There is no reason that you cannot be that person. You have all those things in you right now. That is it. Thank you very much. I appreciate you spending this morning with me. I hope it was good.